from out in the community to the prisons. There's no place she won't go.
Hey, you know it.
It's just Community Flow. Keep it a community.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. Wake up!
I am Community Clo. Welcome to Community Conversations. You want to turn me all the way up. I say that every week, right? The Virginia Association of Broadcasters top community conversation show, because we deal with the real deal. Now, I'm telling you, turn us all the way up as we're heading into September, which is National Recovery Month. I have a very special guest joining me. She is Sharika Lampkin Briscoe. She is with RSAC. How you doing, Sharika?
I'm good. How are you? I'm doing really good today.
All right. So we're going to talk about rural substance abuse awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a part of the coalition.
Yeah.
But we got to have a real talk, right?
Okay.
So, Sharika, you're dealing with RSAC.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in recovery?
I am absolutely in recovery. I have 11 years of mental health and substance use recovery. So I'm super excited about it.
Wow. So what was that last day like for you when you were like, enough is enough?
Whew. Well, I had spent the night before in the club scene, and so I was pretty exhausted. I was drunk, I was high as gas, and the next morning I woke up and my son asked me if he had to clean me up today, if he had to clean up my vomit. And
wow.
That was a breaking point for me.
And how old was your son at the time?
Oh my goodness, he's 19 now, 11 years from
yeah,
today.
He was like 8 years old?
8, 9. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. So for me, that was a lot. It was a lot because as a single mother, you don't wake up thinking that this is what your life is going to look like, that mm-hmm. it's going to be hard. And being a teen mom, my oldest son was like my right hand. So it woke me up because I didn't want to, mm-hmm. I didn't want him to see that was going to be my life for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So I had to make some type of change, some type of difference, some type of something to do something different.
I want people to take away from the show this weekend that you can recover from addiction.
Absolutely.
And don't be so hard on our family members and friends. I had to deal with a loved one
mm-hmm.
who was strung out on drugs and crack and was gone.
Right.
It didn't mean they didn't love me. They just didn't love themselves. And then sometimes it starts with depression
mm-hmm.
or that issue that happened or that incident that happened in life, and you just can't deal with it.
Right.
And just because you may be together
mm-hmm.
and you might can self-care it out, some people got to medicate it out.
Right.
And we're not talking prescribed medications or drugs, right?
It started off as prescribed. Understand that a lot of times that people go into active addiction, it's not because they woke up and said, okay, well, I'm just going to get high. I'm going to mm-hmm. put something in my arm and put something in my nose. It's because we cannot deal with the underlying effect of what's going on. And it's trauma. It's all trauma. Whether it's sexually related, whether it's mentally related, emotionally related, it's trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It something you're told can cause you to go into a trauma spell. But it's all about having our coping skills. And a lot of us don't have coping skills.
Mm-hmm.
Active addiction is because we don't have the coping skills to get mm-hmm. through what we need to get through. And so we use to escape. We want to create a realm where we can just be who we are when we are.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can say anything to us, because at that time, I mean, we might be a unicorn today. You know, and nobody can tell us that we're not a unicorn.
Wow.
But then when we come up off that high, we realize we're human. We can't fly. Mm-hmm. So we want to get high again.
So what is that feeling like? Just really quick.
So for everyone, it's different. But for me, it was the numbing sensation of having vibrations. If you ever put your head against the speaker and it's all the way up and you feel the vibration,
mm-hmm.
that's what it felt like to me. It felt like a consistent vibration.
Hmm.
And that vibration took me to another realm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the difference. So it's no one way that it happens.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, recovery, it's resiliency.
Yep.
And I just want to commend you for
Thank
saying
you.
Enough is enough and 11 years in recovery.
Yep.
And I don't care if it's somebody that's listening and it's one day, mm-hmm. just one day that you didn't use.
Yep.
2 days, 3 weeks, 30 days that you didn't use, you are on your way.
Yeah.
But you have to come together as a peer support community and talk about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying it again. For some reason, I'm hearing this in my head when folks say, if you're depressed about something, everybody got a lot going on in their life, just get over it. What you can get over can kill the next person.
Right, because everybody doesn't deal with things the same. We don't all process, and that's what makes us human. Being human is not being like someone else. We aren't robots. We aren't programmed to deal with things the same way. Mm-hmm. Some families didn't talk about mental health and substance use, which causes the person to then grow up.
The black family.
Absolutely. The African-American family did not talk about mental health and substance use. I know we didn't. We didn't. If Uncle John got drunk, guess what? He got drunk. He gonna sleep it off. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have those conversations. Mm-hmm. Those wasn't conversations of don't drink, don't do. We watched our families drink because that's how we all had fun. We celebrated that way. Mm-hmm. But nobody talked about the dark effects that drinking and pill popping and illegal drugs and legal drugs took on a toll on yourself and your family. But we didn't think about that because what happened in our house stayed in our house. Those were the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We didn't want to talk about those things. But today, in today's world, we have to have those conversations. We have to put a face to recovery and active addiction only because we want to take the good that someone can do and we want to embrace on that. We want to push on that. We want to get someone to see that you can live a good life.
Right.
That recovery doesn't look like just one way. It's not just a 12-step or a Celebrate Recovery or mm-hmm. a AA. It is whatever way you make it.
Right.
You know, if you fall on your knees today and say, God, take it away, guess what? He's going to take it away. It's your belief system. Mm-hmm. It's what direction.
Yeah.
You can have a combination of all of them.
Right.
You could do a combination of all. Mm-hmm. But it's about being tired and saying enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready for something different.
You can't
different.
Be tired because it's your children and your family asking you to do it.
Right. You have to be tired because you want to be tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm living a life as once calling myself a convicted felon because I took a charge for someone doing something my part. But during that time, I was so zoned out. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was a single mother trying to make a way.
Yeah.
And the judge looked at me and told me my life was a scam. Now, mind you, now my criminal record is just as thin as this one piece of paper. But he told me my life was a scam and that I was going to commit a crime again and I was just going to build up. So he gave me 20 years with 20 years suspended.
Really?
Uh-huh. And so 11 years.
How much time on probation?
I had indefinite probation. But within 4 or 5 years, my probation officer wrote a letter to the state of Virginia and said she shouldn't be on probation at all. And so I've been off probation now 6 years.
Great.
6 years. And I
and
started
giving
off.
Back.
Yeah, absolutely. Give
community.
Back is my everything.
Yeah.
It's a part of my job. It's working with RSAC has allowed me to give back to the community through trainings, through volunteer services, mm-hmm. through just being there and being supportive to them. And so I'm able to lend a hand wherever I am, hence how I became the spokesperson for this particular
you are definitely.
Event. So I am, you know, big shout out to RSAC because they are a bunch of beautiful people who are all in recovery of some sort, and we just lean on each other.
That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
How and why did you become? And you've shared your story.
Right.
But how did you become involved with Rural Substance Abuse Awareness Coalition, RSAC?
So I work for United Healthcare under the Behavioral Health Optum, and I'm the Recovery and Resiliency Manager. And I did a few trainings. I facilitated mental health first aid and seeking safety with my counterpart, Kia Briscoe. And we met the peer coordinator, Robin, and she was like, hey, I want to do more. And we're like, okay, well, how can we do it?
Yeah.
And so as a part of my job, I connect with different community organizations, and she just happened to have like 5 under one umbrella. And I've been sitting in meetings ever since. And it's a joy to be around different people. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm the only African-American representation because there are a few, but I love the fact that we are all so many different colors of the rainbow mm-hmm. from so many different backgrounds. And the common denominator is recovery.
You mm-hmm. know, when we have cultural sensitivity and understanding that regardless of the colors, mm-hmm. we still have that one issue.
Absolutely.
Recovery.
Absolutely. Recovery.
Resiliency.
Recovery is the topic. And we all are focused on recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We're focused on how can we get out more resources? How mm-hmm. can we get people to come out? How can we get someone to talk who is scared of talking? you know, especially living in those rural areas. In the rural areas, it's very difficult because the communities are so small and everybody knows each other. And so it's difficult to have a conversation and say, I need help because you're scared somebody going to go and talk about you to Susie Jew.
But Susie Jew is having the same issue and challenge in her house because she's assuming that Helen Joe is not having the same problem in her house. This is a great show. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to take a break and come on back. But in the meantime, you can just simply go to the website at rsaac.org. We have more. Stay close. This is Community Conversations.